Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
The Ronin, the Builder, the Defender, and the Confined went into the woods some werewolves to find. Yet behind the family drama and petty jealous strife, a shadow loomed over all to keep them from the light.
Hi, I'm Matt, the host of Lost Library and your game master here on Grayscale. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley, and you can find all of my projects at fifthdraw.com.
Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm playing Ashley Adario. You can find me on Twitter at CWoodsArt or on Tumblr and Instagram at Christina Woods Art.
Hey, I'm Emmeline, or Emma, and you can find me on Twitter at Of Hauntings.
My name's Nora Blake, and you can find me on Twitter at Neither Nora, as well as on other podcasts like Hollow Sweethearts, White Lotus Radio, and Babe City.
Hi, I'm Travis, and today I'll be playing Cole Cameron.
You can also find me on Twitter at Dice Lobbard.
All right, it is a bright and sunny Saturday afternoon in Port Avalon, late May, early June. The weather's nice and clear, and the four of you are at the Mallory High graduation. Now, only one of you is actually graduating, and that's Friday.
Da, 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 da. That's me.
So, Friday, you're sitting down with the rest of your class down in the seats, kind of in the middle of this whole mess. What is on your mortar board?
She probably thought a really long time about, like, a good quote or anything. Couldn't find anything that really, like, spoke to her, and she didn't want to be cheesy with that kind of thing. So, instead she has, like, some little, like, ghost she cut out of, like, cardboard or paper or whatever, and, like, painted white with little faces on them, and they're real cute, and so that's on top of there, and then maybe, like, some stars or something. She's graduating high school, and I'm a little emotional about it.
Well, she's sitting there with the rest of her classmates in just a sea of red graduation gowns with gold trim on them. The faculty is up front in their black gowns with a red and gold stole around their shoulders, and the ushers scattered throughout the auditorium are wearing just the grossest gold graduation gowns with red trim on them. They're just horrible. One of them is Cole. Cole, how'd you get roped into this?
Well, you see, technically I shouldn't even be moving on to my next year, into junior year, but my parents threw some money at the problem, said, maybe we can make a deal, we build you something nice at the school. And the deal that was settled on is that I had to volunteer services around the school over summer, plus that healthy donation, and they would look the other way on my grades. So I was forced, as part of the volunteer work, to be an usher today.
All right. And how much does Cole hate this gold gown?
Well, he's real upset because he had a whole outfit planned for today that was meant to shock and upset the crowd goers, and they just handed him a robe. So not only is the robe ugly, but I'm kind of pissed that I did all this work and now I don't get to show it off. Also, it's really hot under that many layers of clothes.
I mean, Cole kind of brought that on himself, so not a lot of sympathy there. Ashley Adario is here as well, but she's also not graduating. Where is she? Why is she here? What is she doing?
Well, Ashley is sitting kind of more so towards the back of the auditorium stands, not intentionally, just because some people are late, but she is there as well as her whole field hockey team and her friend's parents to support her friend slash high school mentor, Angela, who is the older sister of Ashley's best friend, and so kind of her older sister as well. Like, Angela mentored her, like, in the field hockey team and in student council and NHS. And she's just a really nice person, so the whole field hockey team is there with... There's at least one, like, poster board with her name and face on it, and no, like, vuvuzelas or whatever, but just there to, you know, support Angela.
That's fantastic. And the last member of our cast today, Molly, why are you at this graduation?
Well, Molly is essentially playing the part of cool older sister to Friday.
Oh, it's so cute.
That's amazing.
She rolled up to graduation a year... I think it's, like, been 1 year since she graduated. I think that's right. I think that math checks out. So basically, she rolls up to the high school that she graduated from last year in a brand new white and pink 2018 street rod, which is a type of motorcycle.
Oh my god.
She's got big ol' sunglasses on, very glamorous. She's got flannel. She's got a t-shirt. She's got jeans, hair tie around her wrist. And in her purse, she has smuggled in an air horn.
That's delightful. And, you know, just very befitting.
And she's here to support Friday and probably be too loud.
Is she going to be the one who might just be screaming and yelling at the top of her lungs with the Vuvuzela crowd?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
But she promised Friday that she'd be chill.
That'll work really, oh my God, really well, I'm sure.
Oh, man. No, Friday is mortified, but also feels very, very loved.
I mean, listen, your greatest adopted sister is here to support you. It's just wonderful. Graduation has just kind of, everyone has settled in. They did the music and they brought all the students in. The principal got up and is droning on. And all four of y'all notice a couple things. One, the principal seems annoyed today, which for some of y'all, that's just kind of her standard setting, and for some that's very unusual. The second thing y'all notice, and what some of y'all probably suspect is the cause of this annoyance, there are two teachers missing from the lineup. Specifically, Owen and Helm aren't here.
Now the question is,
they must have forgot.
Are they not there on purpose?
You know, listen, listener, if you want to know what Owen and Helen are doing, in a few months we're going to be launching a Patreon, and there's going to be some patron-exclusive content that will explain just what those two are up to. Now, back to our show. So, you know, you some of y'all could just kind of put the, pieces together that the principal's not thrilled that two of her teachers just aren't here. Knowing what y'all know about them, probably no phone call. just gone. So graduation is proceeding apace. Eventually, you know, the valedictorian gets up, drones on. The salutatorian gets up, drones on a little shorter. And finally, they start calling all of the students up in order. And sooner rather than later, Friday's name gets called to the podium.
I applaud and cheer.
Friday, like, oh. See, this is really nice. And, like, so Friday's, like, her aunt that she lives with couldn't make it because she had to work or whatever. And it's, like... She didn't want to miss it, obviously, but it's still a sad thing. So, like, having these friends here cheering her on and, like, hearing anybody in the crowd cheer for her is just, like, really emotional for her a little bit. And so she was going to wave, and then she heard the air horns, and kind of glared into the audience.
That's fantastic. How good. So Friday's crossing the stage, and you know, she's been working with Ben and with the kind of the communication stone a little bit since we last saw her. And one thing that they've kind of managed to do is almost make it like a projection kind of thing. So as long as Friday has the stone on her somewhere, Ben can kind of whisper in her ear a little
bit.
That's
useful.
And as you're crossing the stage, you just hear Ben go, "Oh, oh boy, congratulations, Friday."
She's very emotional. Can she like talk telepathically with him too, or like?
It's kind of like whispering, like sure. It's sub-vocalizing, kind of whispering. So you do have to kind of say the words out loud, but it can be real quiet.
Okay, I'll use this whisper voice.
Good stage whisper. We know that's what you're doing, really. It's fine.
Okay. No, she says, "Oh, thank you, Ben." Like, I don't know. She doesn't really have a lot to say, but she feels very loved in this moment.
So you're crossing the stage, and the principal's smiling and is holding out her hand to shake yours. And you know, it's not kind of the fake plastered on smile that the principal had for some of these students that she never really had to interact with. She's bumped into Friday. She's kind of kept tabs on you because she knows you've had a rough go of things. And so this is a genuine smile, and she's holding out her hand to you to shake.
Oh, yeah. Well, Friday definitely shakes her hand, you know, probably definitely almost on the verge of tears, but, you know, graduation.
So you're shaking her hand, and she just kind of leans in, and the entire scene around you, Friday, changes. You look around, and the hand you're holding is, it's not skeletal, but it's kind of gray flesh decaying a little bit. There's an eye missing out of her head. Kind of the jaw is a little distended. The entire auditorium looks like a blasted, burned out Hulk around you. There are just this kind of this slowly shambling horde of other gray-skinned bodies that are just kind of slowly shuffling around. All four of you can actually see this. And Friday, you can now pinpoint Molly in the crowd and Ashley on the other side in the crowd. And at the very back, just kind of lounging against a wall slightly out of sight of everyone, you can make out Cole in the crowd. All four of you can see this scene.
Holy shit. Oh my god. Friday definitely is just like frozen with fear. Like she doesn't know how to react to this at all.
Molly immediately snaps her fingers and her pink enchanted jacket appears on her over her clothes. It's her enchanted jacket that protects her from harm, and she has now just sort of pulled that out on instinct.
Ashley, how are you reacting to this?
Probably making a quieter version of noise that I just made on mic. Probably not saying much of anything, but the internal dialogue is definitely lots of intero bangs right now.
Okay.
So, I mean, Ashley doesn't have any magic that she can do, but, I mean, she probably found a way to, like, smuggle in her weapon, like, in a bag with, like, a field hockey stick with a banner on it or something like that. So, I mean, like, she's got it, but I'm not gonna, like, draw it yet because see what this thing is, because the last time that something like this happened, it went away kind of quickly.
Cole, how are you reacting to this?
Well, I think my first instinct, because I already hate the robe, is I can't fight in a robe. So I'm going to attempt to rip it. I don't know how well that's going to go. Cole is not a very strong boy. Not even a little.
Okay. I love this so much.
These are probably tough. Also very old, like, satin robes from, like, 1980. So... I would argue this for school, a low
this school
DC.
Doesn't get the budget. This school doesn't get the budget to replace these.
Oh man, with the roll, I have a 6.
No, not even a little bit. You're yanking on it.
You know what? At this point, I'm gonna give up, and I'm gonna try to get it over my head, but it's awkward because it's clinging to the clothes I have on. You know, it didn't fit quite right because it's what they had on hand. So it was overly. There was way more material than needed to be, and like I'm just having a hard time getting out of this contraption.
That's very good. The instant like the principal kind of leans into Friday, holding your hand, leans in and just goes, "We're coming, little soul seeker," and the entire vision is gone for all four of you, and you're back just in the gymnasium. And the principal's kind of leaning into Friday a little bit and just goes, "I'm so proud of you, Friday."
Friday kind of buffers for a second before... like, and she definitely looks shaken, like you'd be able to tell, but she tries to shake it off and pretend that that didn't just happen, just for, you know, posterity, and quickly as possible get off the stage.
Cole, at the back of the auditorium, Mr. Davis... one of the vice principals comes up to you and just goes, "Mr. Cameron, we talked about this. Please don't disrobe in the middle of the ceremony."
Okay, I'll drop the robe so that my head pops through and I can actually get a look around again. And all as was before, yes?
Oh, yeah. Everything's back to normal.
I'm just going to sigh because, I mean, this isn't the first time I get to see horrible things pop up. So in my mind right now, nobody else saw that. That was Cole's personal journey there.
Okay. it is. I should note, Cole was able to probably notice that Molly stood out and Ashley stood out and Friday stood out. So that was a little out of the ordinary for you.
Okay.
But, you know, you're still getting used to this. So we're going to deal with your flashback here in just 1 second, Cole. So you drop the robes back on and you just kind of mumble some apology to Mr. Davis. He wanders off again, and you lean back up against the wall.
As soon as his back's turned, I'm totally flipping him off.
Oh, yeah. One of your fellow ushers who's just kind of wandering after him like a good little puppy, who is probably a member of like the National Honor Society and a dozen other clubs, looks just scandalized by that. Cole, as soon as you lean back against the wall, though, something else just kind of floods into your mind, and you have this vision of a room. You can't really tell where, of a room. Someone is sitting at a computer, typing madly on it in traditional movie hacker typing. Off to one side, there is a bookshelf, and like you can tell there's a bunch of books, but there are two that are almost illuminated in your vision. Like you can just almost immediately see their titles on them. And one is The Serpent and the Rainbow. And the second is Passage of Darkness. And on the other side of the room from him, on like the desk that he's typing on, kind of extends to one side and then goes down the other wall into kind of a workbench area. And there's a weird metal contraption. It's got like a round base. It's got four arms kind of coming up with some electrode kind of mad scientist little rods poking out towards the center. In the very, very, very middle of it, just kind of suspended between these four arms, some lightning's kind of crackling around it from these nodes. There is a tiny, 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 maybe 1 inch long sliver of stone just floating there. And as you're just kind of looking at it, something just kind of like the air kind of seems to wrinkle around it. And the first like sibilant S of a word comes out and the vision ends.
Oh, man. I think we've already previously established that whenever I do happen to get my visions, it's not an easy thing. So I'm going to say that I am, when I'm looking back up, I'm down on one knee, just looking up from the crowd. And I'm just mumbling to myself because I'm trying to repeat the details so they don't fade to me. So I'm mumbling the titles of the two books is really, I mean, since they really stood out, the rest is all visual cue, but actual textual information, I'm definitely just repeating those two in under my breath, you know, The Passage of Darkness, The Serpent in the Rainbow, Passage of Darkness, Serpent in the Rainbow, and just trying to compose myself.
All right. As you're doing that, Mr. Davis walks by again, just looks at you and just goes, go to the water fountain. You shouldn't have worn that many layers, Mr. Cameron. Go get a drink of water.
All right. I'll head off to the water fountain then.
All right. Friday, you've managed to make it back to your seat with the rest of your row, and the next couple rows are going up. It's a little bit. So how is Friday kind of processing all this?
Not super well, because that was a bit of a, what we call a emotional whiplash. I think she's kind of trying to figure out if there's a way that she can, like, go get some alone time for a second so she could talk to Ben or look at the book or do something. But I imagine it's not super simple to get out of the crowd, especially once you've walked off the stage.
No, you're kind of stuck in the middle of your row, in the middle of kind of the first quadrant of seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She'd probably kind of try and, like, whisper under her breath to Ben, like, did you see that? What the fuck was that?
And Ben's just like, what are you talking about, Friday?
Everybody in here looked dead, like a zombie, for, like, a few seconds, and then they weren't. I don't know what just happened.
There's a long pause. And then another voice cuts in on the stone. A voice that you recognize, and I don't feel like you're thrilled by it. The other voice comes through, and it's one you're not thrilled about, and it's the voice of Uriel. And he just goes, Ms. Dunn, I'm going to need you to be very careful today. Okay. There is something happening, and... okay. Quick lesson. Gotta keep it quick.
All right.
If our direct line to the power of heaven or hell for the demons were still open, we would not be constrained by your narrow vision of time. We're not really tied to it. We normally can kind of go whenever. That's not true right now and hasn't been for a upsetting number of centuries, but something we still have a sense for it, much like how you can perceive it when space occasionally gets altered around you. We can sense when time gets altered, and something is happening. We're trying to work on identifying it. I'll relay more information through either Ben or through Milo. Be very cautious. Something has targeted you. And he kind of pauses. You four. And you almost immediately feel like he's lying. About specifically because he kind of paused and then said, you four. You feel like that's a lie.
Friday's like, well, okay, then what am I supposed to do now?
Graduate.
Great. Okay, cool. Got it. She's not... yeah, she's peeved.
There's kind of a long silence again, and then Ben pops back in and says, oh, man, he's worried. God, that voice just really wants to become Angus? The boy detective? And it's bad because in my local D&D group, I absolutely used him as a voice for a gnome. Hello, sirs. God, that voice is going to slide there pretty quick.
What if he talked like this a little bit?
No, it's not Ben, no, though. No Bugs Bunny.
Ben's too vanilla for that.
My name's Ben. I'm a ghost.
It's not a ghost, though.
I'm doing my best, okay?
Nora, you sound like drunk. You sound like you're drunk.
That's drunk, man.
Melting.
Oh, God.
Okay. Anyway, so Ben's just like...
Sylvester Stallone.
So Ben's just like, yeah, he seems worried.
Yeah, I'm worried too.
I mean, listen, time is complicated. Be real careful, okay? I'll let you know everything that I can.
Okay, I guess. But I don't understand. Like, can I do something now?
I mean, you would draw more attention if you just, like, got up in the middle of this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess so.
Look, we can usually sense if things are coming, I guess, kind of early. So if something seems like it's about to happen, I'll try to let you know.
All right.
All right, and we're going to shift over to Molly. Molly, how are you reacting to all of this?
She is... starting to learn to sense things magically. She's not there yet, but she's still learning that. So she is trying to sort of, you might say, read a bad situation is what you might call it.
Oh, absolutely you can. Yes, please. Let's do that whole rolling part of the role-playing game.
All right, that's a 5.
Okay, oh, so no. Mark experience.
Cool.
No. Things are weird, obviously. But nothing really seems out of place. Nothing seems to be coming at you. Nothing seems to be coming at your friends.
All right.
Sometimes magic is just weird. And like Helms told you this before, sometimes magic's just fucked.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was a very bad impression of Helm, and I apologize to Raph.
My name's Halem, and sometimes magic is fucked.
Yeah, that's better. That's
much pretty
better.
Good.
I'll probably use that.
She is going to text Friday and just say, "You okay?"
Not super okay, actually. Like in all caps. Probably, yeah.
Okay. She sends 2 emojis, which are a skull and a question mark.
Yep, that's the one. And then she texts back, like, a second text. It's like, is there any, like, what can we do about this? I guess Nora wouldn't, or Molly wouldn't know.
I'm tempted to just say, have her just text, sometimes magic is fucked. sometimes magic is fucked, 3 question marks, I'll keep an eye out.
She does, like, a little mad face, and then, like, a sighing face. And puts her phone away.
Ashley, how are you reacting to this? Jen, sitting next to you, is kind of giving you this, like, side eye at you just going all weird for a second there.
Okay. I have 3 things that I would like to do.
Okay.
First thing that would probably make the most sense is that I would like to read a bad situation and compare this to my previous experience of everything going weird.
Okay, go right ahead.
Unnatural 12.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, do you want the question you asked to be one of your questions about whether or not you recognize this?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll get 2 others from the list of read a bad situation questions.
Yes.
All right, but the answer to the first one about whether or not this was similar to what you had previously seen, the answer is no. This did not seem to originate from your staff or from your weapon or from any kind of powers or abilities therein. This was something else.
Okay. In that case then, my second question is, hey, how about, what's the best way to protect the victims, as in us 4, but also in, like, a more general sense, like, the field hockey team that I'm sitting next to? But if I can only have one of those answers, specifically about the 4 of us who got highlighted.
Okay, that's a complicated question, the answer is you don't know. You, Ashley, weren't exactly the focus, it seemed, of that. Like, the focus seemed to be Friday.
Okay.
And the one thing you do know is that the four of you that were highlighted, one, were hunters, and two, pattern recognition can kick in enough for you to know that all four of you have been involved in some of the more extreme weird stuff that's been going on.
Okay. I would like to note that actually Ashley did not know before this definitively Friday or Cole or Molly were involved with hunting at all. She had suspicions, but nothing confirmed. But now that is confirmed.
Okay.
So that's a little bit of a shock. Okay, so nothing super specific, because I was not the target of that time warping. Okay, can I save a hold, I forget, or should I, is that just something that happens, that has to happen now?
It's specific to the questions.
But, like, could I ask one, like,
I will let you save the hold.
Okay.
Kind of for this scene, I'm going to use some different terminology here for this scene that's happening. Mm-hmm. And you can ask your third question when and if something else happens, okay?
Okay. In that case, then, am I still allowed to do two more things before we shift over to presumably Cole?
Yes.
Okay. This next thing that I would like to do is that I would like to use one of my moves, which is oops. So,
okay, what's oops do?
Hey, Keeper, I want to stumble across something important, although not necessarily related to the current problem.
Ooh.
That power is so good.
Okay. Tell me what your third thing is.
I'm
going to deliver on that. I want to know what your third thing is, so maybe I get some options of how to frame it.
Okay, my third thing was that I was going to, of course, text my Aunt Carrie with this in as concise of terms as I can manage and while concealing my phone from everyone else.
I'm going to kind of step in a little bit and make a little bit of a judgment call to help frame your oops and another bit of information that Ashley is going to receive. Your phone is in the gym bag that's kind of under your chair.
Mm-hmm.
That has your weapon as long as some other things in it.
Yeah. There's like a false bottom in her field hockey bag, which the weapon is in.
Okay, so you're going down, you're bending down, and you unzip your field hockey bag, and you're digging through, and your phone kind of slips and, like, goes down into the false bottom. So you open that up to go grab your phone, and your weapon has changed.
Yes.
There's kind of, it looks different, and I'm going to ask you to describe it here in a second. But you reach down to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
As you're grabbing your phone, because you're just like, wait, what? And as you touch it, you feel that same kind of pulse of energy that you felt the other night out at the werewolf compound.
Okay.
And you get the feeling that the weapon has reacted to what you saw.
Okay. Ashley is pretty presumably freaked out since I have seen enough of my weapon in the last couple of weeks, presumably, to know what it looks like. This is concerning because I had no idea that this could happen. No one had told me about this. So, real quick, I'm grabbing my phone and, like, covering it back up.
Okay, I want you to describe your weapon now, what it is in the second stage.
Yes, in the second stage of my weapon, it is where before it used to be like how the kind of like the back half of like the blade, quote unquote, portion of it was like covered with like bark along the edge of it. That's gone now, but the rest of it is still like the whole like blade portion of it is nice polished wood now. It now has a defined hilt, which is kind of a, it looks kind of like a block. But there's kind of like, there's still kind of like the same knot hole, from the first initial version of it, which is still there. And it's, you can see just like a tiny bit of like a blue glow, like coming through like the center of the knot hole. And it is longer, and there used to be just like a regular, just like a very like small, like metal inlay along the edge of it. That is now more significant. So like there's less wood and more metal to it now.
And you can tell that the metal is kind of a polished bronze or brass. What'd you say?
Yeah, bronze.
Bronze. Okay. I do want to change one small detail.
Okay.
The kind of blue glow from coming from the knot hole, it's not blue.
Okay.
It's yellow.
Fuck you, Matt Holdley.
Hey everybody, Matt, your game master and host here on Lost Library, cutting in here for a mid-episode break. I want to thank y'all so much for just kind of hanging with us while we had to do the emergency filler episode this last week, but we're all good now. We're back on our grayscale story, and we should be back on our regular schedule next month. I want to thank Renee Rhodes for doing our intro, our recap intro. You can find her at RayDNR on Twitter, and you can find her podcast, Fate and the Fable Maidens, there as well. You should definitely give that a listen. They're doing some really fun stuff over there. Our music is Agra by Damiano Baldoni off of the Lost Dynasty album, and you can find that at the Free Music Archive. Also, we want to use our High Tide Rec this month for a project that our cast member Riley Hopkins, who plays Minnie here on Grayscale, something he's doing right now. He is kickstarting a Powered by the Apocalypse game called Interstitial, Our Hearts Intertwined. It is so much fun. It's kind of based on a lot of the themes and ideas of Kingdom Hearts, but it allows you to play in just about any playground that you want to play in. It really is just a ton of fun. I've gotten to play in one of the playtests for it. It was really great. There will be a link to the Kickstarter in the episode notes, so go check that out. Our next episode is going to be this Saturday, the 21st, and our third and final part of this story this month is going to be next Wednesday. In August, we're going to be back to our normal schedule, where Grayscale is going to be on the second, third, and fourth Wednesdays, and we should be doing something special for the fifth Wednesday, but we'll see, and we'll have more about that later. See y'all then.
To study mythology is to study the biggest of boys.
And Kratos becomes as big as Ares? Because the power to kill a god is him big?
Pod of Lore, a podcast about video games and mythology. Available every Friday, wherever your podcasts are.
That is awful and I love it.
Hello everybody, and welcome to the Home for Wayward OCs. My name is Christina, and this is a podcast where, every second and fourth Monday of the month, a guest and I talk about our original characters, the good, the bad, and the self-inserts. So, if you're interested in hearing about different original characters people have made up, like a superhero created for a thesis project, an NPC who is destined to die but is still loved, or a blatant Pokemon self-insert on a mission, or if you like tangents about maple syrup and gender politics in media, you can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. Or on Twitter at WaywardOCPod, or through the WaywardOCPod hashtag. We hope to see you soon!
So, you grab your phone, and you're typing things, you're trying to text your Aunt Carrie, and you're a little, you know, not a little, you're pretty shaken right now by kind of just the last 5 minutes of your life.
Yes.
So you're going up and you drop your phone and it drops down between your seat and Jin's seat.
Okay.
And so you lean down to kind of grab it and fish it out. You notice something on the underside of Jin's chair.
Okay.
There's a weird silver box that looks like it's just been taped to the bottom of it.
Okay.
One side of the box is hollow, like it's open, it's not a full, complete box. And you see what looks like a couple of metal rods that look like they're kind of connected and look almost like a robot arm kind of folded up in.
Okay.
And a little further down at what would be the end of the arm looks like a needle, like a big needle.
Okay.
And you kind of glance under your seat and there's not one there.
Okay. Have I gotten to my phone without touching this box at all?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Is this, can I ask if my oops has been covered yet?
Yeah, that was the oops.
Okay. How far along are we in the name reading?
They're a little ways down.
Okay, because it's probably not a good idea to start screaming about bombs right now, or fire or something. But this is definitely going in a text to Aunt Carrie as well. As fast as my fingers can fly.
Okay, what are you texting her?
All of it, or, like, just relevant to the last thing.
Okay, you're just texting her about the box?
No. I mean, I sent her a text before dropping my phone about everything going great, people looking like zombies, me, Molly, Friday.
Okay, specifically, it didn't go gray like your previous vision had gone.
Okay.
It looked like the place had just been, like, burned out around you.
Okay. Well, burned down then.
Well, the people were, like, gray-skinned, like, rot. Like their flesh was rotting.
Gray with putrescence, not lack of color.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I got a zombie vibe.
Yes.
When you did your description, so...
Good. Okay, so you texted Carrie about both of these things. And to the first one she replied, weird, stay alert, keep me informed. Three lines.
Okay.
To the second one, just all caps, she just goes, picture now.
Can I, like, I will lean down and try to, and I will fiddle with my field hockey bag and, like, angle the phone so it sends a picture of, like, the two seats. Jen's and mine. Like, mine without the box and hers with.
Okay, I need you to roll me plus cool.
I got a 7.
Okay, cool. So you're not being overly suspicious, but you're not being just completely, like, cool as a cucumber about this.
Okay.
You know, Ashley's on edge. So you manage to get the picture, you send it to Carrie, and you're kind of going to sit back up and Jen just elbows you. Not, like, hard, not, like, mean, but she elbows you and just goes, my sister's coming up next. And you hear, down from the front, Angela Meyer.
I stand up and I whoop and I holler and I try to get everyone to stand as close to the row in front of them as I can.
Okay. There's a roll for that. There's a roll for that. Manipulate? Is that manipulate?
Yes. I got a grand total of 4.
Well, mark experience.
Yes.
And, like, the rest of the field hockey team is cheering for you. Jen is standing up. No one else is really standing up because graduation, not a sports event. But they're all cheering and clapping. And Jen's kind of standing up with you. And you kind of get the feeling it's more out of, like, solidarity because my friend seems to be a little loopy today. More than anything else.
Yeah.
And your phone buzzes.
Yes.
It's a text from Carrie. It just says... Not bomb, something else. Maybe don't sit there.
Okay. In that case, then, I will grab Jen and say, hey, let's go get a picture of Angela. She comes back down the row. See if we can get her to wave at us.
Okay. Jen just gives you a look and just goes, "You okay?"
Let's just leave that as a to be determined.
Oh, okay. And y'all. She just kind of lets herself be dragged along behind you down to the end of the row.
Okay, cool. I will go and take a picture of her as she comes down the row trying to get her attention because Angela is important to Ashley, so.
Okay. That you'll be able to do that. Like, Angela just kind of looks and just grins up at the two of y'all and waves real big.
You mean I don't have to roll for that?
No.
Okay, cool. No.
That'll just happen. That's just some good character stuff. So, Angela waves real big at y'all. Y'all get a picture. Everything's just going nicely. The next row gets called up, and there's a loud crackle of static over the PA system.
Okay.
And then a really just nasty guitar riff sounds over it. One that all four of y'all are familiar with. Last year in Mallory High, a student who graduated the same time as Molly did frequently would somehow hack into splice his way into the PA system of the high school and would interrupt morning announcements, would cause some fake fire drills and things. But usually he would always leave just this gross, basic level guitar riff that apparently he just thought was very cool. And he pulled this same nonsense at your graduation last year, Molly. Except he did it when he was stepping up to get his diploma. Everyone kind of knew that he had planned a prank on this. And he had keyed it to his cell phone. And he cut in and played some embarrassing video of something that he and a couple of his friends had done to the principal's office and car. And he had, been punished in that impotent way that seniors get punished before they're actually completely done with school. And his name was David. So Molly, this especially rings familiar to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I text David.
Ooh. Is there a role to know if you have someone's number or would you just have his number?
Is
that just good enough drama that you should have his number?
Let me hit you with this one.
Okay.
David's my ex.
Oh.
Fuck.
I love it. Yeah. So you can text David. Fuck yeah, you can text David.
Oh, no.
Oh, Molly, why? No, but for real, why though?
Hey, Matt. You know what I just realized, Matt?
What?
Port Avalon is still technically on an island. David is still on an island.
It's not that David. Molly, you deserve way better than this edgelord shitbag.
Listen.
That is why he's her ex.
She used to be an edgelord shithead, too.
I'm so glad you're better. Because he's not. You can text him. What do you say to this David? David.
It's just, really? Again?
And David texts back and you kind of feel the alarm through his text. It's like, why are you at graduation?
That's a weird thing to say.
I mean, I'm not going to bullshit you on this. You clearly heard the riff and it's still going on. Hey, do you like the whole song? I finally worked out the rest of it.
I have a friend here.
The song is garbage, by the way. It's not good. It's like a cheap Metallica knockoff.
Right.
So he texts back and just goes, since when do you have friends in high school? And he means that as horrible and as multi-pronged as it sounds.
And she, out loud says, fuck you, David. And she just texts back, just fuck off.
And he just goes, fine. Hey, you're not sitting in seat 10 of your row, are you?
Am I?
No, you're not. You're sitting in seat 11.
No, why?
Just maybe head for an exit before the riff ends.
Is there someone sitting in seat 10?
Yes. Well, okay. No, yes, there is. And it was a Vuvuzela family. There's a super proud mom sitting right next to you in seat 10.
Right. I don't know what to do.
The riff is starting to go towards a natural climax.
I think she just, like, she just says, you need to get out of your seat.
And the lady turns and looks at you and goes, excuse me?
There's something wrong with your seat.
The lady just looks at you and goes, what do you mean?
I don't know.
And she just goes, okay, are you okay, sweetie? You kind of looked all weird there a minute ago, and I didn't think you had that jacket on. It's probably too hot for that.
Oh, it's cooler than it looks. It's fine. There's something wrong with your seat, I think.
And she's just like, oh, okay. And she kind of gets this, like, you know that good mom look that's like, I'm going to humor this child because they look like they're having a moment, but they're not going to be, like, condescending about it. She kind of gets that look on her face. She's like, okay, well, let's check out the seat and see if everything's okay. And she stands up, and the seat swings up, and there is a box, a boxy shape, like, taped to the bottom of it with one panel missing that's just kind of the same silver color as the rest of the bottom of the seat. And the lady just looks at it and goes, well, that doesn't look quite right. Does your seat have that?
What does the box look like?
It's just a thin, it's about an inch deep. It's just kind of the silver color. It looks like it was, like, glued onto the bottom of the chair. Three sides closed, one side open. And you can kind of see a similar construction that Ashley saw. So a couple of metal rods that look like they could extend out like a robot arm. And what looks vaguely from your angle like a really big needle.
I would like to take a knee.
Okay.
And touch the box and use magic.
Okay. What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to observe another place or time.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. Roll that for me.
12.
Fantastic. So this gets to work without issue. This is going to roll just perfectly for you. This is going to work perfectly for you.
I think what happens is she, like, puts one hand on the box and, like, behind her, where the lady doesn't really see it, she gently spins her fidget spinner like it's, like, the reel of a VHS as she, like, scrubs backward in time to find when this box was put here.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're scrubbing back through, just kind of in, like a 5 or 6 foot bubble originating out from this chair. Time just starts to rewind to your eyes only, and it keeps scrubbing, like, you see this lady, like a ghostly image of this lady sitting there, like, standing up and cheering for her kid, and then sitting back down, and then standing up and cheering for another kid that they know, and sitting back down, and you see her eventually, like, in reverse, her getting to the seat and sitting down the first time. So she stands up and walks away backwards, and it just keeps scrubbing, and, like, the bubble gets dimmer, where the lights have been turned off for the night, and then suddenly there's a bright spot that's getting bigger as someone is, like, reverse walking with a flashlight back up to the chair. And someone kneels down, and they have, like, a hoodie on, and they have a backpack on that's kind of bulging with what looks like a bunch of these boxes, and they take it off the chair and put it in their backpack, and they turn to leave, and you recognize David. Red hair, green-eyed David.
As that past version of him passes, can I look at, like, a wristwatch on his arm?
Yeah, he's the kind of person who would have, like, he would not ever have an Apple product. He would have a very modified Android product, of course. And so he has, like the bigger Samsung smartwatch on, the big round one, and it's got, like, a custom face on it that's all kind of, like, blacks and reds, all edgy colored, and it says 2:33 a.m.
And she pulls her hand back and pockets her fidget spinner again.
Okay.
It's just sort of, like, zips back to the present.
Yeah, it just, the bubble just kind of contracts and all the time, like, rewinds to the present as it does, and then pops away as you move your hand. And the lady's looking at you and goes, are you okay?
The music is probably starting to end by this point.
It's growing to a shrieking climax, yes.
She's going to say, I don't know what this thing is about to do, but let's maybe take a step back. I feel like something's about to happen.
Okay. As you do, the music just ends. There's this long note that's held out, and a voice that you recognize as David attempting to sing follows up, and it just, in some attempt at a lyric, just says, "When hell is full, the dead will walk the earth." And there are yells of pain from all around the auditorium, and Ashley, as you and Jen are approaching her seat again, and Molly, as you're looking at this box, y'all can both see this happen. The arm inside the box stretches out, and the needle, like, scorpion stings into where someone's leg would have been, and y'all see this, like, white liquid just kind of shoot out of the end of the needle. On both of the chairs, like, it kind of just lands on the cloth and just kind of, like, smokes a little bit. And around you, the entire auditorium erupts into chaos.